You know, one of my favorite movies is Avalon. It's the heartwarming story of a young Jewish immigrant named Sam who lands in Baltimore in 1914. Well, years later, Sam becomes a grandfather, and he begins a habit. His habit is whenever he has the grandchildren around, he sits them at his feet, and he begins to tell them the family stories. He tells them the same stories over and over and over again. And he always begins with the same line. He always starts by saying, "I came to Baltimore in 1914. I thought it was the most beautiful city I had ever seen." Well, you know, at the end of the movie, Sam is in a nursing home. His wife used to beat on him during those years when he would tell all these stories and say, Sam, you're driving us all crazy. Stop telling the same stories again." But Sam was unflappable. He just kept telling them. Well, he's in a nursing home at the end of the movie. And one of these grandchildren has grown up now. His name is Michael. And he comes to visit Sam with his own son, Sam's great-grandson. And after they leave, Michael and his little boy are walking out. And the little boy says, Daddy, that man talks funny. And Michael turns to his little boy and said, "Well, you know, son, it's because he wasn't born here in America. He came to Baltimore in 1914. He used to say it was the most beautiful city he had ever seen." And the movie ends with Michael walking off into the distance, beginning to tell his little boy all of the same stories that Sam had told him when he was a little boy. I watched this movie and I thought to myself, you know what? Sam was a very wise man. Sam understood something very important. He understood that our family stories, our most important stories, need to be told over and over, or human nature being what it is, those stories will be forgotten and their significance will be lost forever. Now, there was a guy in the Bible who understood this very same principle. His name was Joshua, and he did something very similar to what Sam did. After God opened the River Jordan so the Israelites could walk through, here's what Joshua did. Joshua chapter 4. Then Joshua set up 12 stones at the spot where the people had crossed the Jordan. And he said to the Israelites, "When your children ask you what these stones mean, say to them, 'This is the place where the Lord dried up the Jordan River for us to cross, just like he did the Red Sea. He did this so that we would never forget how powerful the Lord our God is.'" Now, friends, I want to be Sam for you today. Today, I want to be Joshua for you. Today, I want to tell you some stories over again. Today, I want to build up a rock pile and remind you and me again what the Lord Jesus has done, how he has bared his arm to get us to where we are as a church family today. And then I want to talk to you about where we go from here. If you're visiting with us today, I want to say you're welcome. We're so glad you're here. But I need to tell you, you've shown up on one of the unusual Sundays where we were going to do some family business. We're going to kind of all sit around the kitchen table and have a little family meeting and talk about some family issues today. So you're welcome to sit in and listen, but please understand we don't do this every week, but we need to do it this week. So welcome. In 1961, five families got together and decided to start a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church here in Northern Virginia. They named it McLean Bible Church. In 1964, they bought 5 acres of land over on Balls Hill Road in McLean, and they built a little yellow brick building. Now, when I came as the pastor of McLean Bible Church in 1980, this was the building that I came to. We were about 300 or 400 people strong when I came. But we started to grow. And it wasn't long before we outgrew the little yellow brick building. And we decided to add an addition onto it. Meanwhile, we moved down to Langley High School and we met there. We met in the auditorium. We kept everything we needed for church stored in 3 big sea containers out in back of Langley High School. And every Sunday morning, we rolled the church in. And every Sunday afternoon, we rolled the church back out again and back into the sea containers. And we did that for 6 years from 1986 until 1992. Finally, in 1992, November of that year, we dedicated our new facility on Balls Hill Road in McLean. But you know, we began to grow again, a lot. We went from, two morning services to three morning services to four morning services. We parked hundreds of cars down at Langley High School and shuttled people up. We had half a mile backup sitting on the beltway, people waiting to get off the exit there at Georgetown Pike, trying to get to the church. It was a mess, a complete mess. And suddenly we realized that when it came to fulfilling our mission of making an impact on this city, the greatest limitation we had was now our facility. And so we began in the mid-90s looking for another place to call home, a larger place from which we could really make the kind of impact on Washington, D.C. that we felt the Lord had called us to make. We looked around in Tyson's Corner. We wanted 25 acres minimum, and we looked for several years and found nothing. At the end of that time, I had a real estate agent who said to me, Lon, he said, there is no piece of land in Tyson's Corner like you guys want. And even if there were, you guys couldn't afford it anyway. He said, why don't you sell the building on Balls Hill Road and why don't you move to Loudoun County? Well, I said, let me tell you two things. I said, I have two things to say to you. The first thing I want to say to you is we are not selling the building and moving to Loudoun County. And the reason is the name of this church is not Loudoun County Bible Church. That's the first thing I'm telling you. And the second thing I'm telling you is don't tell me what God can't do. I don't want to hear it. Do not tell me what God cannot do. We have a powerful God. We have a living God. And we believe that he has a property for us in McLean. And we're just going to trust him. And if necessary, we're just going to wait because he's got something for us. And so we waited for over a year. We disbanded the team looking for property because there was no property to look at. And we just prayed and said, we're going to wait. Well, friends, this is where the saga of God bearing his mighty arm for us really begins. And let me tell you about it. In 1997, we heard a rumor that the National Wildlife Federation property, which is where you're sitting today, that it was for sale. We called on the telephone for a month and left messages. Nobody ever called us back. Finally, we got a phone call back from a real estate agent, and he said to us, he said, look, even if the National Wildlife Federation property were for sale, he said, you guys as a church, he said, I don't know, I'm not even interested in talking to you because as a church, there's no way you could financially perform on this anyway. In good conscience, I cannot recommend you as a buyer. And he said, besides, there are two people in line ahead of you anyway. I said, well, we need to have lunch because I'd been over here and looked at this place and I knew what we could do if we got it. I said, we need to have lunch. He said, no. I said, yes, we do. He said, no. I said, yes, we do. We said, no. Finally, we had lunch. And when we had lunch, I was a young Jewish real estate agent. And I said to him, look, by the time this process is over, I am going to convince you that this property is our property that God has had set aside for us from the foundation of the world. And all the National Wildlife Federation's been doing is holding it for us till we got ready for it. He said, there is no way in the world you're ever going to convince me of that. And I said, you watch. Well, you know what happened? The other two buyers, they both dropped out. We kept meeting with him, kept talking with him. And by the time it was all over, this young man became our greatest advocate for getting this property. When we met with the National Wildlife Federation board for the very first time, he stood up and said, I would like to recommend you sell this property to this church. He said, I don't know, something about the foundation of the world. He said, I'm not sure I understand that, but I really think you ought to sell it to this church. And with his help, we actually were able to get this property. And may I tell you, it is not 25 acres. It is 52 acres here at Tyson's Corner. Now, I don't know what you call that, but let me tell you what I call it. I call it rock number one. That's what I call it. All right, there you go. Now, Once we had agreed to buy the property, then we had to go through the zoning and political process of Fairfax County. You know what we say? We say when Satan fell, he fell in the Fairfax County government building. That's what we say. It was an 18-month-long process that got unbelievably adversarial. And about a year into that process, the chairperson of the Board of Supervisors came to our supervisor for this district, Stu Mendelson, and she said, Stu, I've already conducted a straw poll of the Board of Supervisors. You cannot get the 6 votes you need to pass this. She said, Stu, it's a loser. It's a loser. You need to drop this McLean Bible Church thing like a hot potato, Stu. Well, that had us a little concerned. And I was up one morning about 5 a.m. praying, and the Lord said to me, I want you to take Dave Ballard, my friend who was working with us on this, a member of our church, and I want you to go visit every one of those 10 supervisors in person, and you explain to them what we're doing, and you ask for their support. And you remember, we did that. And back then, hey, what else did we do? You guys, we had 24-hour prayer vigils, you who were here. You remember this? And we all wrote letters to our supervisors, and we all wrote letters to our planning commissioners, and we all went to all these hearings. You remember that? And by the time it was over in January 1999, in the final vote, the chairman of the supervisors turned out to be right. We did not get 6 votes. Friends, we got all 10 votes, including her vote. Now, you know what I call that? What do I call that? I call that rock number 2. Yeah. All right. Now, once we had that, once we had permission to build this, then we had to deal with money. You know what they say in construction? Twice as long and twice as much. You know what they say? Well, when we started into this project, we thought it was going to cost us about $40 million. By the time we had gotten permission to build it and we had really worked the numbers better, we suddenly realized the real cost of this project was going to be $95 million. We didn't have the money. We had done some pledges, BFL Part 1, Building for Life Part 1. We had some pledges. We had gone to the banks and said, how much will you lend us? And when we added all that together, we could not do the project. It was financially impossible. And I said, oh my gosh, Lord, I was up in the middle of the night praying, saying, what have we done? What have I gotten these people into? You know, everybody in this area knew what was going on. We'd been on television. We'd been in the newspapers. This had been a very public fight in the county. And now for us not to be able to build the building, for us now to have to be able to have to sell the land because we couldn't do the project, I said, Lord, we're going to be the laughing stock of Fairfax County. We're going to disgrace you. We're going to disgrace the work of God. Lord, you have got to do something. I don't even know what to ask for, but you have got to do something. Well, in February of 1999, a month later, out of my fax machine came a fax. And here's what it said. It was from a family in our church, and here's what it said. It said, we would like to make you an offer. We're going to offer to match dollar for dollar every dollar that is given during this year. This was February, all the way up through December 31st of 1999. And we will go back and match every dollar that was given the year before, 1998. And here's the best part of it. There is no maximum limit. Whatever you give as a church, we will match it. Now, I've never heard of an offer like that being made in my whole life. Who ever heard of an offer like that being made? I had to sit down at my home study, and I took out a yellow marker and went back through it, marking it up to make sure I'd read it correctly. And when I'd read it correctly and I was sure that this indeed was what we were being offered, I said to myself, what? I said, that is what? That is rock number 3. What do you say? Yeah. All right. Now, all right, well, we had this wonderful offer, but now we had to take it into the stratosphere to still make this thing work. And so we set a goal of $12 million by the end of 1999 that these people would match. With 5 weeks left to go in 1999 to get to $12 million, we had $5 million left to go, $1 million a week. That was pretty challenging. You say, well, how did we do? Did we make $12 million? No, we didn't. Actually, by the end of the year, we made $13.1 million. We brought in over $6 million in the last 5 weeks of the year. But that's not all. We had our building up for sale at that point over on Balls Hill Road. We were asking $7.5 million for it. And Oak Crest School came along and offered us $10.5 million for it. You say, why in the world would they do that? I don't know, but we took it. We took it. And here's the point. The point is that in less than 3 years, between 1997 and 2000, the Lord had given us over $40 million in cash so that we were now able to do the project. And what do we call that?
Act number four.
There you go. Now, last of all, we still had to get a bank to lend us the rest of the money. So we needed $45 million in loan. You say, well, that shouldn't have been hard, really. You go to a bank and ask for $45 million and see what they say. Especially when you're a church. We're not a business that makes anything. We're a church. You know what? You got to give props to the Bank of America. They stood up and said, we'll do it. And they said, well, you should know this is the largest loan we have ever made to a church in the history of the Bank of America and the largest loan we have to a church anywhere in the United States. It's one of the largest loans we got. Well, you know what? That money enabled us to actually finish this project, to build where we are today. And what do we call that? Huh? Say again.
Rock number five.
That's right. That's what we call it. Now, here you are sitting in it. You say, well, Lon, that's great. That's great. That's great. But isn't there a so what here? Oh, yeah. In fact, it's time for us to yell that right now. So are you ready?
We're ready.
All right, here we go now. One, two, three.
So what?
Yeah, you say, Lon, so what? You say, all right, so this is great. And I mean that we're in the building and we're using it for the Lord and the project's all finished. No. The project is not finished, friends. It's not. Let me tell you how we define this project as being finished. This project is finished when McLean Bible Church is debt-free once again, like we were in 1997 when we went into this project. And that's why we're calling our new pledge campaign that kicks off today, Finishing the Wall. We are not finished because we're sitting in it. We are finished when we are paid it completely off. As you can see, I want to show you something. Right over here, I've got one more big rock. See this, baby? Now, I can't lift this rock myself. I'm a stud, but I cannot lift this rock myself. This rock, if we're going to lift this rock and bring this rock over and put it on top of this pile, it's going to take every single one of us together to get that rock on top of that pile. And what does that rock, the big one, stand for? It stands for paying off the rest of this project. You say, Lon, how big is that rock? Well, that rock is a $33 million rock over there, friends. The good news is God has given us, over the last 6 years, $62 million in cash. Awesome. But we still have a mortgage on this building of $33 million. Let me tell you how much that is. That is $267,000 a month. That's our mortgage payment. That is almost $9,000 a day. That's our mortgage payment. And you know our mission is to make an impact on secular Washington with the message of Christ. Say it with me together. To make an impact on secular Washington with the message of Jesus Christ. And right now, friends, the greatest obstacle we face in achieving our mission is the debt service that we have on this building. You say, Lon, wait a minute. Stop. Why are you so obsessed about being debt-free? What is it with that? Well, I'll tell you. Friends, the reason I want to be debt-free is because I want to take $267,000 a month and invest it in people's lives for Jesus Christ instead of making a bank payment with it. The reason I want to be debt-free is because I want to take $9,000 a day and change lives for Jesus with that money instead of giving it to the Bank of America. That's why I'm obsessed with this. And ministry-wise, do you know what we could do with $267,000 a month, $9,000 a day? Well, let me tell you. You know, you met James on the screen who went to winter camp and had his whole life changed as a teenager. Do you know we scholarship to kids to go to these camps because a lot of teenagers can't afford to go and their parents can't afford to send them? Do you realize that 75% of the kids we scholarship to go to these camps make a decision for Christ at these camps? They either accept Christ or they rededicate their life. But we have to sometimes turn kids away because we don't have enough money to scholarship everybody. But if we had $267,000 a month, we could scholarship every teenager that wanted to go to teenage camp. We could also fully staff our teenage youth center so that it operates every single day, reaching out and making an impact on teenagers instead of once or twice a week. Did you know that Access Ministry runs a four-week camp every summer for children with disabilities, and that we're full months before we ever get to July? We're already full. We have to turn away scores and scores of these children. Friends, I don't want to turn one of these children away from summer camp. I don't want to turn one of their parents away from having that kind of break during the month of July. If we had $9,000 more a day, we could double, triple, and quadruple the number of children that we could take in summer camp. Did you know that our radio ministry is the most effective way we've ever found to infiltrate and impact secular Washington? We could double or triple the impact of our radio ministry if we had $267,000 a month more to use. Did you know we added 25 new young missionaries to our missionary staff, our missionary budget over the last couple of years? These were young people who went on short-term missions trips, caught a vision of what God wanted to do in the world, came back and wanted to go overseas as missionaries. But friends, with our debt service, we do not have enough money to add 25 more over the next couple years. Did you know that The Gathering, our targeted ministry to college kids, that we hold a service every Sunday on the campus of American University? We have over 80 college kids who show up every single Sunday and come to church on the campus of American University. But folks, we want to do a service on Georgetown's campus. We want to do a service on GW's campus. We want to do a service on George Mason's campus. We want to do a service on Gallaudet's campus. And with $9,000 more a day, we could do it. Our ministry down in Lincoln Heights, in the projects down there, we want to buy more space, rent more space, and expand that program so we can touch the lives of more kids. Our ministry of the house in Anacostia, where we minister to teenage inner city young men and women. Friends, we own three houses there, but it's not enough right across from Anacostia Junior and Senior High. We want to buy the entire block of houses and use them for these kids. And if we had $267,000 more a month, we could do it. You remember all those names you wrote on the floor right where you're sitting? Do you remember all the names of people you wrote on prayer bricks and we put into the wall behind the cornerstone of this building? Names of men and women and young people that you wanted to see reach for Jesus Christ? Well, we want to reach them as much as you want to reach them. And we need that $267,000 a month to be able to get it done and get it done effectively. Now, I could keep going, but I think you get the point. And you know what? When we originally thought about this, I said, well, maybe we need to do a Finishing the Wall Part 1 and a Finishing the Wall Part 2. And over 6 years, we'll try to wipe this debt out. And my staff challenged me and said, why are you doing that? Why don't we go for the whole thing right now? Let's try to do it in 3 years and get the whole thing off of us. And I prayed about it and said, you know what, Lord, they are absolutely right. We can do this. We can do it. And so my challenge is for finishing the wall is that there's only going to be part one, I hope. There's not going to be part two. I want us to pay the whole $33 million off and get the debt off of us, finished, done, finito, in the next 3 years. And you say, okay, Lon, all right, I know you want me to play some part in this, so what is it that you exactly want me to do? Well, I'm so glad you asked, so I'm going to tell you. I've got a plan as to how we're going to do this. Here's my plan as to how we're going to get this paid off. It has two parts. First, I want to ask every single one of you here to make a minimum pledge of $1,000 a year That's $3,000 over the next 3 years. If you're a couple, that's $6,000 for a couple. Over the next, this is over and above your regular giving. I want to ask you to make that a baseline that every single person in this church tries to at least do that much. Do you know if every single individual here in McLean did that? That alone would be $18 million. That's 60% of our debt right there. How much is $1,000 a year? It's $83 a month. It's $2.75 a day. It's a latte a day. That's all it is. You say, all right, Lon, wait a minute. You're asking me to give up my latte a day? Is that what you're asking? No. No, I'm not. I'm asking you to buy two lattes a day. One for you and the other one for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I'm asking you to do. And friends, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is worth one latte a day. Virtually every one of us here can do that. Now, the second part of my plan is that some of us here, God has blessed richly. Some of us here can do a lot more than a latte a day. I'm one of them. God has been incredibly gracious and good to me and my family. And we're going to do more than a latte a day. As a matter of fact, you know it's public record that in Building for Life Part 2 from 01 to 04, my family, Brenda and I, committed $50,000. And by the grace of God, I'm happy to announce we paid that off. You say, wait, and in finishing the wall, we're going to do more. You say, Lon, wait a minute. Why are you telling us how much you gave? What are you doing up there? You grandstanding? You trying to manipulate us? What are you doing that for? Very simple, friends. Speed of the leader, speed of the team. It's just that simple. If I don't believe enough in what we're doing here, if I'm not convinced enough that what we're doing here is valuable and worthy of my sacrificial giving, if I'm not willing to put my shekels where my mouth is for what we're doing here, then how in the world can I ask you to do that? So I'm telling you what I'm given so you know I believe in what we're doing here. I'm committed to what we're doing here, and I'm willing to put my money where my mouth is. And now my challenge to the many of you here who can do more than a latte a day is for you to do it. It's for you to step up and give sacrificially and generously and extravagantly to the work of God and take that $18 million baseline and shoot us up to $33 million and let's get this thing paid off. You say, Lon, that's the whole plan? That's it. Say, that's not a real profound plan for paying off $33 million. Well, we don't do profound plans here, friends. Let me just tell you, I hate asking you for money. It is the most distasteful part of my job, and I hate it. But there are times I have to do it. And when I have to do it, the way we do it here at McLean is we don't spin you. We don't manipulate you. We don't lay a guilt trip on you. We try to simply tell you what the need is and ask you to go home and pray about it and ask God what He wants you to do and then do it. We try to handle this with some dignity and with some righteousness and with some integrity. That's the plan. The plan is I've told you what we need. The plan is I've told you what I want you to pray about doing. And now you need to go home and ask the Lord to give you an exact number as to what you're going to do. And so these pledge cards that are in your bulletin today, if you're here today and you already know what God's told you to do, wonderful. You can fill this out and hand it in at the table out in the lobby at the welcome desk. But many of you, most of you probably don't know. That's fine. I want you to take it home. I want you to pray this week and ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? Give me the number for me. And then next week, we're going to give you a chance to fill these in right during the service. We're going to collect them. We're going to bring them all up front. We're going to lift them up before the Lord, and we're going to pray for them. You say, you're going to take service time to do that? Absolutely. Because, friends, these kind of commitments to the Lord. Remember, you're not making this commitment to the church. You're not making it to a building. You're making it to the Lord Jesus. And that's as much a part of worship as singing a hymn or hearing the Word of God is. Yes, we're going to make it part of the service next week. You come prepared to give these next week. And if you're not going to be here, put a stamp on the envelope and mail it in, and we'll include your pledge next week. The other thing I want from you is to pull this yellow insert out of our bulletin. Pull it out. This is for a 24-hour prayer vigil that we're going to run this weekend, because we believe for this program to work, it's got to be bathed in prayer. We've got to seek God for this. And so we're asking you to pick 1 hour between 6 o'clock Friday night and 6 o'clock Saturday night that you're going to pray. In the wee hours of the morning, you can do it at your home, or during the day, you can come here and join us. But friends, I believe that Jesus Christ and his work on earth is worth 1 hour of prayer. We want you to fill these in, hand them in at the booth, out in the lobby. We'll call you this week and remind you when you're coming. But I want you here to pray with us about this need. Let me close by saying something just straight up to you. Look here. Everybody look at me. I want you to hear me loud and clear. If you come to McLean Bible Church, if you receive ministry and help from McLean Bible Church, if we are assisting you in growing in your spiritual life and your walk with Christ, if your family is growing in their walk with Christ here, if your children are growing in their walk with Christ here, then I'm here to say to you that I believe you have a moral, a spiritual, and an ethical responsibility to give back to the work of God at this place. I believe that not only does that mean for you to give back in terms of your time, not only does it mean giving back in terms of your energy and your service, but it means giving back in terms of your finances. Friends, we are not trying to train you to be consumers here. We are trying to train you to be disciples. And the difference between a consumer and a disciple is a consumer consumes, a disciple serves and gives. And we don't want you to be consumers. We want you giving to the work of Christ. Every one of you here. And there may be some of you here who can't do a latte a day. Maybe you're a single parent mom who's raising a child with a disability. And you can't do a latte a day. Okay, do what you can. Maybe you're a teenager here and you can't do a latte a day. Okay, do what you can. I want every single one of you, when we take that rock one day, and we move that rock over and put it on top of this pile, I want every one of you here to feel a sense of ownership and a sense of participation and be able to say, I helped move that rock. I helped. Everybody can do something. You know, when we did Building for Life Part 2 back in 01, my youngest son, John, was 15 years old. And he came to me, we never said a word to any of our children about giving. But he came to me one day and he said, Dad, he said, I want to make a commitment to Building for Life Part 2. I said, okay. He said, I'm committing $800. I said, John, where do you plan to get $800 from, son? You don't have $800. He said, well, here's how I figured it, Dad. He said, I totaled up all my birthday money for the next 3.5 years. I totaled up all my Christmas money for the next 3.5 years. I totaled up all my Easter money, and I totaled up the money that maybe I could make a little bit in the summer, and I totaled it all together, and I figure I can do $800. He said, do you object if I commit $800? I said, no. And he committed that. You know, after he talked to me, I'll be honest with you, I went back to my bedroom, and I said, you know what, Lord? That boy just humbled me. I don't think I'm giving enough. If he can give $800, then I'm not giving enough. You know what? My original intent was not to pledge $50,000 to Building for Life Part 2. But after my son gave $800, I was ashamed to give less. You know, he paid that $800 pledge off. I don't care who you are out there. You can do something. And when we move that rock, my son has the wonderful privilege of saying, I was part of that. Friends, I want that for you. Nehemiah, chapter 6. So the wall of Jerusalem was finished in 52 days. And when our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized, look at this, that the work had been finished with the help of our God. The people around Nehemiah looked at that wall and said, there is no way in the world those people could have ever done that wall in 52 days by themselves. It had to be their God because they couldn't have done it. You know what, friends? That's exactly what we want to happen here at McLean Bible Church. We want the people of Washington to look at what happens here and say there is no logical human explanation for how these people could have possibly done that. No way can we explain it. It had to be their God. That's what we want. And if we're not creating a big enough platform that people say there's no way it could happen humanly, then friends, we're not stepping out and walking by faith enough here. We're not giving Jesus a big enough platform to bring the spotlight on himself. Well, I think $33 million is a big enough platform. Well, how about you? I think that'll do it. And I think if we do this, if the people of this city look around and say, you mean in 9 years, those people raised $95 million in 9 years and paid that whole thing off? Illogical. How could anybody do something like that? Oh, baby. Oh, mama. That's what we want people saying, because then it allows us to turn the spotlight on the Lord Jesus and say, you want to know how we did it? We did it with the help of our God. That's how we did it. We have a living, risen Christ. That's how we did it, who does exceedingly abundantly more than we ask or even imagine. That's how we did it. Friends, that's the platform we want to create. And you know what? I believe we can do it, but we're going to have to all work together. So you take these things home. You pray about them. You come back next week prepared to write down what the Lord's asked you to do. And thank you for your kind attention today. Let's pray. Father, thanks for reminding us today of the great ways in which you have bared your mighty arm to get us where we are. Even to this point, we can tell the story of this project and people stand back and go, that had to be God. But Lord, that's not enough. We want more. We want a bigger platform for you. We want this project finished so that we can take the money that is going to the mortgage and we can use that to change people's lives for Christ here in this town. And so, Lord Jesus, touch each one of our hearts. Grant that each one of us here this week really seek you. And Lord, give each of us the joy of feeling some sense of participation in moving that last rock and putting it on this pile. Speak to our hearts this week, Lord, and surprise us with what you do here, because you are a great and awesome God. And Lord, nothing is too difficult for you. We commit this project to you, Lord, and pray you would use finishing the wall for your glory and your honor in this city. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. What'd you say?
Amen.
There you go. See you next week. God bless you.